Good morning, everybody. So as Pastor Harley has introduced, my name is Charlotte, and I have been attending 11:30 service for some time now, serving in the worship team and on Thursday night Connect group. So I am originally from Ipoh. Whenever I say that I'm from Ipoh, some Singaporeans will ask me, oh, so do you know how to cook Ipoh Hor Fun? No, I don't. So I told them I can always learn from YouTube. And just so you all know, Ipoh actually just became one of the top 10 places to visit in Asia. So if you have never checked it out, yeah, you can feel free to, you know, take leave and go and check it out. It's pretty cool. Ipoh is famous for a lot of good food and also pretty girls. So they say. Before we start, let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Father Lord, we pray that you will open up our hearts, allow us to listen from you as you speak to us, and pray that you anoint the words of my mouth, that your words that come forth will touch hearts and transform lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a look at our passage for today. It should be on the screen. Our passage for today is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 23 to 28. Okay. So God says, I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name that you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors and you will be my people and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord. So, last Wednesday was Singapore's National Day. So I believe it must be quite a good news for most of us because those who are working means you have holiday. Those who are studying means you have holiday as well. And you get to do things that you usually don't get to do on a normal weekday, like going for karaoke. Some of them actually went for karaoke last Wednesday, or like asking your friends out to go for coffee or just chilling at home. The older I grow, the more I realize that I really enjoy time just on my own doing nothing. Maybe the older people here would agree with me. Yeah. Okay, some older people raised up their hands at the back. So I heard that 2 years ago, when Singapore had their 50th birthday, apparently there was 50% sales everywhere. So I kind of look forward to this year's great Singapore sale. So maybe there will be 52% sales everywhere. So and so happened that our church, St. Andrew's Cathedral, is placed at the strategic spot where our north, south, east, west is full of shopping centers. So every Sunday after service, when we go for lunch, so I will somehow pass by all these shops with this big S word. You know what's the big S word? So smart. Sales. Correct. So I will see sales everywhere and I'll be so tempted to walk into the shops and shop. So finally, a few weeks ago, I get to have a chance to go and get some good bargain and bought myself some pretty cheap clothes at Suntec, if you want to check it out later. Suntec. So, and it was, I told myself after I buy some of the pretty good deals that, you know, that's it. I am a student. I'm not earning much money. You know, no more shopping. That's it. That's enough. But every Sunday, when I come to church again, those big S words somehow just caught my eye. Wherever I go, my eyes just get glued to it. And I would be tempted to go in again. So it's really no kidding that coming to church is full of temptations. But that is just one form of a temptation, you know, in terms of shopping. But temptations is actually quite true in our lives, isn't it? It can come in the form of the upcoming Apple iPhone 8 that is launching next month. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It can come, temptations can come in the form of some hot, sexy girls posing sexily in Instagram. Don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about. And a temptation can also come in the form that when we are very stressed out after a whole day of work, whole day of studies, and we get annoyed even more. And we just feel like lashing out and saying something that will hurt people, even though we don't mean it. Temptations can also come in the form of, you know, that lousy driver that drives next to us. It's always the other driver that is lousier than us. So temptations is just part of our life and we cannot get rid of it. But the truth is that temptation is not sin. It only becomes sin when we let go of ourselves and to act upon it. It is not sin when we are frustrated, when we are stressed or angry even. But it only becomes sin when we let words, hurtful words slip out of our mouth and hurt somebody with our words. And so when we start sinning, we somehow allow sin to have a grip on us. And once sin come into our heart and have a grip on us, before we even know it, sometimes we fall deeper and deeper into the pit. And I myself have fallen into the pit before. So growing up in Malaysia, I'm born in a Christian home. So from what I remembered, when I was a baby, I already started attending church. And I was born as a very gritty girl, you know, gritty, strong-willed. Somebody call it stubborn, but I prefer to call it strong-willed. I am born as a very gritty girl, and I believe in mind over matter, meaning that my mind is alive, matter is dead. As long as I put my mind into doing something, I can get it done. It will be successful. So this kind of attitude somehow had kind of brought me good results in school because I always persevere in what I do, and so quite favored by the teachers as well. And very soon, it has built upon pride and self-centeredness and egoistic attitude upon myself. And before I even know it, everything revolves around myself. And I tell myself that, you know, in order to be successful, I must be focused on my goal. And hanging out with people is a waste of my time because they take my eyes away from my goal. And I somehow have a very deep, very convinced that if I can actually achieve everything on my own by just putting my mind and effort into doing it, I don't think I need God at all. Why do I need God when I can actually get what I want? I think only the weak people need God. And having that kind of attitude and mindset without realizing it that the Bible actually says that if there is one thing that the Lord detests, it is those who are prideful in their own hearts. And Proverbs 26 says that, do you see those who are wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for these people. So with this kind of attitude, I just lived through my entire secondary school life, and I went into college. And when I start to step into college, somehow, very unwillingly, God has put me to start serving in a Christian fellowship, even though I don't want to. And when I start serving in a Christian fellowship, that was when I actually hit a lot of walls. So I started to realize that this kind of mindset of, you know, like people are a waste of my time, and everything is about I can do it if I put my mind into it. Then I realized that very soon, all this falls apart. And I started having conflict with my friends, and I couldn't juggle with my studies, and I suddenly do very bad in my studies, and we have bad mouthing politics with the people that I serve with. Everything seems to fall apart, even though I thought that I can do it on my own. And that was the time where I really, really went down on my knees and say, God, I couldn't do this anymore. You know, can you come and help me, please? And at this time, God dawned upon me a realization that if there is one thing that we can bring to eternity with us, it's relationship. It is not my studies, not my ministry, not my work, not money, not comfort, not even anything that I treasure, but it is relationship that God matters, that matters most to God. My relationship with God, my relationship with people. And at this point in time, I was so, I knew that, I realized that I had set myself as an idol to myself in my heart. So the idol that I have is I, me, and myself. And I realized that my heart has been hardened with pride and selfishness, and this has to go away. But the thing is, how do I make this go away? I was in helplessness and desperation. I didn't know where to turn to. I know that I've messed up, but I didn't know how to get out of this mess. And so in the passage that we have just read earlier, the Israelites have sinned. They were in the similar kind of situation, very helpless and desperate. And in the first place, the Israelites were the people chosen by God. Remember, God actually chose them and brought them out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, but God brought them out. And when the Egyptian soldiers were chasing after them, then God opened up the Red Sea for them to walk across. When they have no water to drink in the desert, God actually allowed water to spurt out of rocks. And when they have no food to eat, God allowed bread to fall down from heaven. Can you imagine? So it's literally, God has been there with them through the whole time until they enter the promised land. But despite of God's faithfulness, they keep sinning and sinning again. How do they sin? They started worshipping idols. They even killed and sacrificed their own children to the idols. And they did deeds that is detestable in the eyes of the Lord. So God told them, and God had pre-warned them that because of your sin, you have profaned my name. And God told them that this is what's going to happen, that the enemy countries that is surrounding you, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, they are going to invade your country. And you are going to die either by sword or famine or plagues. And those of you who survive will be dragged out of your country into the neighboring lands, and you have to serve the enemies. And God's word came true. So that was what happened. The Israelites were scattered in all the different places, not even able to call anywhere home. And they were completely helpless and desperate. A lot of their family members had died. Their land had been invaded. And they don't know where to turn to. They know that they have messed up, but they didn't know how to get themselves out of this mess. May I ask today, what are the idols of our life today? The Israelites worship idols that are carved out of stone. Do we worship idols that are carved out of our own image? Or do we worship idols out of our job, our studies, money, comfort, position, or sometimes idols out of our own loved ones? What is it that we have placed above God and allow it to take the position of God in our hearts? When we worship something other than God, we profane God's name. Profaning God's name meaning making God look bad in the eyes of others who are watching us. And when we worship idols, we somehow distance ourselves from God because we break our relationship with God, and we end up making very bad choices in life. Choices in life that might hurt the people that we love. Choices in life that might allow us to have to carry some physical or emotional scars with us that left us in a very desperate situation, broken and helpless and filled with shame and guilt and disappointment. Well, we might know that we have messed up. We might know that we have messed up before. Maybe we are even messing up right now. But we don't know how to get out of this mess. Is there hope at all after messing up? If there is hope, how does this hope look like? So the Israelites knew that they have messed up, but God told them that I will pick you up. God told them, told the Israelites that I will pick you up. He says that even though you have profaned my name by sinning, but I will still show the holiness of my name. I will show myself holy through you so that all the nations around you will know that I am God. I will take you out of these foreign nations and put you back into the promised land. I will sprinkle clean water on you to cleanse you from all the impurities of the idols and all these shameful things that you have done. I will cleanse you and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. In fact, I will give you my very own spirit so that you will be moved by my spirit to obey my laws. And I will remove this heart of stone, this hardened heart that is in you, and I give you the heart of flesh. A heart of flesh, meaning a heart that knows how hurt feels. A heart that knows how hurt God feels when we sin against him. A heart that is receptive. A heart that will hide God's word in it so that we will not sin against him. A heart that beats for compassion and a heart that breaks for the people who don't know God yet. So in my own desperation, I cried out to God to change my heart. I knew that I have messed up. I knew that this idol that I have set up in myself needs to go away. So I was in a desperate situation wondering if God didn't hear me or is he acting too slowly. So one night, I actually got up from my room. I started walking on campus to and fro. So wherever I walk past the hostels, I walk past the corridor, the canteen, the academic block. Wherever I walk past, I start praying for all these people. And I start praying that God will teach me how to love them. Teach me how to genuinely care for people. Teach me how to let go of myself and have a heart that breaks for these people, like how God's heart breaks for them. So I did this for several nights on my own secretly at night. And one day, after class, I walked back to my room, and on my way back, I passed by the canteen. Then I saw one of my friends studying with his group of friends at the corner, and they look really stressed, you know, they're studying for an exam, and it's like the kind of face, like, don't disturb me kind of face. So I walked past. As usual, I will walk past and continue walking back to my room because I don't want to bother them. But this time when I walked past, and a few more steps, and then I had this sense that I should buy 100 plus. So I thought, well, buy 100 plus for them, but they are random strangers, you know. I only know one of them. The rest of them, I don't know. It would be so weird. So I shrug it off and I continue walking. And after walking a few more steps, I felt like, okay, maybe I should. So I turned back to the mini mart and I bought 5 cans of 100 plus. And then I turned back some more and then I gave it to my friend and say, this is for you and your friends. Happy studying. Then my friend gave me a really shocked face and say thank you. Then I turned around and walked away. Of course, I was shocked myself. You know, this is not me. I don't do such thing. This is so not cool. But I know that God is doing something in my heart and I know that he is teaching me how to love. And from that day onwards, this idol of I, me, and myself slowly go away. And slowly, I start to build a heart that genuinely cares for people, genuinely know how to love people like how God loves them. A few years down the road, one day when I was catching up with another friend of mine from college, so we were just chatting away, talking about what all the silly things that we did last time back in college. And then he commented this one thing. He said that, Charlotte, do you know that back then, the impression that you have given me is that you are a very caring person. Then I was like, wow, this is so absurd. Caring? This is the last word I will use to describe myself, caring. Then, of course, I say, oh, thank you very much. But in my heart, I was just thinking, wow, God, it must be you. It must be you because nothing of caringness can come out from me. If it's not you, if it's not the heart that you have changed, this heart of stone filled with pride and selfishness that you have changed, I don't know where else this caringness and this love can come from. And I have messed up, but God picks me up And he used me so that my friend will look up to know who this God truly is. And that was how God picked up the Israelites after they have messed up. And this redemption story does not end there. It does not end at the Israelites. It continues on to the New Testament, and it's fulfilled in Jesus by him going on the cross. You know, Jesus, a God-man, being sinless, he know how painful and how suffering it must be to go through all these things, but he still obeyed God all the way to the cross. Do you all remember Peter? Yeah, Peter, the apostle that Jesus, one of the closest apostles to Jesus, the one who said that, who proclaimed that, Jesus, you are the Messiah. The one who said that, even if I have to die, I will not deny you, Jesus. That Peter, he actually betrayed his own words and he denied Jesus not just once. He denied Jesus three times right before Jesus died. And Jesus still chose to die for him. Do you remember Paul? That Paul who was a Pharisee, the Paul who was angry and proud and go around persecuting all the Christians, he thought that he was doing God a favor by killing away all these Christians. And this Paul, who was a murderer, in fact, Jesus still chose to die for him. For God demonstrates his own love for us in this. When we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Today, what is the idol in your heart that you would want to let go of? Is there any sin that is gripping on you that you want to repent of? If you are feeling ashamed or guilty, remember that Jesus' blood can cleanse you from all the impurities. Jesus' blood can cleanse you from all the guilt, from all the shame, from all the idols, from everything that you are shameful of. And if you are feeling heartbroken, Jesus can mend your heart for you. If you are having a depressed and anxious spirit, Jesus is going to give his own very spirit to you, the Holy Spirit, that is going to mend your brokenhearted, mend the brokenhearted, and set the captives free. If you are feeling unworthy and far from God today, God is telling you that he is always here. He has never been far away from you. He's just here waiting for you to come back, to call Jesus as King, waiting for you to remove this idol and let Jesus come in and take his rightful position in your heart. Today, God is telling you that there is hope. Hope not in ourselves, hope not in our own effort, but hope in what Jesus had done, what Jesus is doing today, and what Jesus will continue to do in our lives. So that through our lives, all those around will be able to see and look up and know who this wonderful and powerful God really is. And lastly, God tell the Israelites that you will be my people and I will be your God. So you hear God is saying that Jesus had finished it all. It is finished on the cross. Everything has been paid for. Your life has been paid for by his own very blood. All you have to do is call on to the name of Jesus and allow Jesus to take the rightful position as the King of your heart. And you, all of you, will be God's people. And God will be your God. Even though we might have messed up, God will pick us up so that all those around us, so that others, our loved ones, our family members, our colleagues, our classmates will be able to look up to know who this God of yours is, to know how powerful and how wonderful this God of yours is. A God that can transform life, a God that can give you hope and a future. Right now, can we take this time to pray? I will pray, come Holy Spirit, and we will have a few moments of silence to allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. And then I will close us with a closing prayer. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our fellow men, in thought, in word, in deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, please forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Father God, you have heard our confession. You have seen our hearts. Even though we might have messed up, but you are a God who will pick us up. You said in your word that you will cleanse us from all our sins. You will give us a new heart. You will put your Holy Spirit in us that will move us to obey you, that will move us to live the right way that is pleasing in your eyes. You have never given up on us, no matter how sinful and broken we are. As you have used Peter and Paul, so you will use us, so that through us in our own messiness, with your power, you will allow our friends and families to come to know you as a holy God, a one true God. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for your salvation. Use us mightily for your kingdom. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.